Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her. This episode is first airing in the midst of a major crisis that I don't think any of us have ever lived through before. We're going to get through it, and hopefully, in some way, listening to these inspiring, extraordinary women can help take some of the stress away for just a little while. I wish you all stay safe, be smart, stay connected, and we will get through this.
Hello, my name is Suzanne Vita Palazzo, and I am the founder and CEO of Upper Deck Fitness, and welcome to Sylvia and Me.
Suzanne, I am so pleased that you are here with me today, and I am sitting in one of your rooms. I've seen your facility here. It's absolutely amazing. You have a mind and body room, you have Pilates and everything else, a whole wide range. What I'd really like to do is get into and ask you, why Upper Deck Fitness? You're centered on not only fitness within yourself, but for others.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me. I appreciate it. You're sitting in one of our three locations. We're a small business, but growing quickly. We've been open for just about 4 years now. Upper Deck Fitness is a passion project of mine in every sense of the word, in terms of not just being a business and an operation. It was started back in 2015 because I had been in the industry for a while, and I started to kind of hit a ceiling both professionally, personally, but above and beyond that, I was finding myself very frustrated with the lack of solutions that were actually available for people within the fitness industry. I always say to people that everybody knows that they should be working out. The question is, why aren't more people doing that?
And what did you find out?
The fitness industry tends to be very based on experience, right? So they put a lot of effort into the music that's used in the room and the lights and the overall feel and the atmosphere of the space. And that's all very important, but we have to get people to the gym in the first place, and we actually have to start even long before that. We have to kind of spark something within them that gets them to want to go to the gym in the first place.
Well, I know one of the biggest things, so many gyms have, oh, here's a special, and the myth is that they all make their money by people joining. They sign up, they're locked into 1 year, 2 year contracts, but then no one shows up at the gym.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, because quite frankly, it's one of the bigger feathers in our cap here. We don't have a membership. We pride ourselves on that, because if you're not going to come, you shouldn't have to pay. And we don't want anybody here that doesn't want to be here. So it changes the entire culture of our facilities and the community here at Upper Deck. But to your point, unfortunately, that is the typical business model. They sell people on packages and promotions. They get them in the door. That's the hook, kind of the financial angle, and they might use it for a short amount of time, particularly in the new year with New Year's resolutions, but then that fizzles. And again, I for a long time was curious about why that was.
And I know that one of your mantras is mind, both the mind and the body.
Yes.
Need to work together. And even if somebody takes a step back, that's not a bad thing, because sometimes taking a step back and thinking and really analyzing could push people forward a heck of a lot more.
Absolutely. One of our taglines is mind leads, body follows. And this again means that this all starts in between our ears. This really comes down to our relationship with our bodies and quite frankly with ourselves. When you value yourself, you're going to pay attention to the food you put in your body. You're going to want to move your body so you feel your absolute best. And to your point, we're very big here on helping people understand that their fitness routine should kind of ebb and flow with them as they go through their life. And by that, I mean, it tends to be very much so all or nothing with people when they come to the gym. They're either like in it 5 days a week, or they just feel like they're not making a difference, and then they might as well just stop altogether. So we don't believe in that at all. We have something here that we call prescriptions that we give people to help them figure out what types of classes and in what combination they should be taking. And we try to teach them, like, for example, if they're going through a very stressful time in their life, whether it's due to deadlines at work or they've experienced some personal loss, they should probably scale back a little bit. The last thing their body needs is to be pushing at that moment. So this is a big learning curve for a lot of people, particularly here in Fairfield County, where, you know, there's a lot of type A's and everybody wants to push, push, push and never feels like they're doing enough.
Well, one of the things that I've also seen is not just with adults, but children. I know that you have a number of programs that are specific to children. And children, you know, there's so many studies, the stress levels that they do go through and you know, the athletics that kind of pushed on them sometimes. Not all children are athletic.
Absolutely.
And I've seen that you've designed a couple of programs that are specific to the needs of children. Can you kind of expand on that?
Sure. So I'd say our programming here falls into two different buckets. One is, to your point, the non-student athlete. This child, unfortunately, tends to slip through the cracks a little bit. Again, if they don't play an organized sport or aren't interested in it, they're not developing a relationship with exercise and therefore their body at a time when they need it the most. And that's what we're passionate about, is getting them to understand the benefits of exercise so that they don't end up viewing it as a chore later in life. I always say a child who doesn't exercise turns into an adult who doesn't exercise, and it becomes that much harder to get them on board. So we really work to make exercise fun for them and to help them figure out how their body was designed to move, because it's different for all children. Some kids love to run, some kids like to jump, other kids love doing yoga with us, and we want to encourage whatever works for them. We also have a very large subset of our business called Upper Deck Athletics, and that's where we're training student athletes for as young as middle school all the way through the collegiate level. Our goal there is, you know, another tagline of ours is work smarter. We want to teach these kids, both boys and girls, how to take care of their bodies and to understand that that level of nourishment and training will make them the best athletes they can possibly be. I also do a lot of empowerment work with the athletes to really focus on what's going on in between their ears, because to your point, there's a tremendous amount of pressure on them. So we talk a lot about the concept of failure and what does it even mean to fail? And is it such a bad thing after all? And how do you pick yourself back up if and when that happens?
Well, one of the big things is, in order to be successful, you have to have failed at least once to figure out, you know,
to learn from it,
to not only learn from it, but to know that you have that passion inside of you to move on and succeed someplace else.
Absolutely.
And as we're talking, you've mentioned Fairfield County.
Yes.
I just wanted to explain that Upper Deck Fitness, that the business is central here in Fairfield County in, you know, the state of Connecticut. And one of the things, you know, the children are under a lot of pressure. There's a lot of peer pressure. There's a lot to succeed. How do you deal with some of the parents who don't realize the amount of pressure and stress that they're putting on their children?
Yeah, it's a great question, because I have to admit, you know, oftentimes that's where it's starting, with nothing but good intentions, right? They want nothing but the best for their child, you know, and whether they're an athlete or not. A lot of it sometimes even comes down to aesthetics. I have mothers who bring me their teenage daughters who feel that the teenage daughter is overweight. It's a very heavy situation for us to be in. And ultimately, in that scenario, we view ourselves as an advocate for the child, because the child doesn't necessarily have the proper voice to express him or herself. And sometimes it takes educating the parent oftentimes it does, you know, and getting them to understand that this is the way the child, you know, the phase the child is in at this particular time, and helping the parent understand what is going to properly motivate the child. Oftentimes I ask the parents, quite frankly, to butt out for a little bit and kind of let me lead and let me develop a relationship with the child. And I'm fortunate enough to be successful at basically lighting that spark. And then the child wants to move on their own accord. They're not being guilted into doing it or peer pressured into doing it. They're coming here because they really enjoy the process.
You know, that brings up something that I met a young girl when I was visiting my brother in California not too long ago from Colorado. Beautiful teenager. I think she was 15 years old. Gorgeous body, and we're talking more of a Marilyn Monroe, Jane Russell. Sure. I'm not talking, you know, huge chest, but, you know, muscle and a good athlete. And the school thought, in their wisdom, that she should lose weight. And they actually had this thing where you had to lose the weight or you'd get a failing grade. And it was the most bizarre thing I'd ever heard of before.
Sure.
So, you know, they get it from all ends. And I think that's great when you tell a parent to butt out and
respectfully, of course, but you know, they can interfere with the process. And basically I ask them to trust me, and we kind of give it a bit of a timeline, and I say, give me 3 months with your child and let's see where we land. And then the onus is on me, and it's my time to do my job. To your point also, I think social media, it's no secret. It's just a whole nother source of visual images for these children. And I think it's very important to note that boys are not immune to this either.
They're not.
A body image standpoint.
Absolutely.
They have a whole
not.
Other set of challenges there, and we see that here. They want to come in, they want to get big. They're drinking protein shakes at 12 years old because they want to get big. They don't even understand, and the parents don't understand either, what they're putting in their bodies. So it's a bit of a scary world to live in, and quite frankly, I grew up in the dance world, and I was a professional dancer, which is how I got into this industry, and I'm quite sensitive to the body image conversation, both from my own personal experience, and I actually was graded based on my weight at points in my life, and I understand how detrimental that type of thinking can be.
Totally.
So it's something that we really have to change the conversation around and focus more on what the body is capable of as opposed to how it looks.
And everyone looks differently. Everyone
yes.
carries their weight differently.
Absolutely.
There are a number of famous models who, or actresses, and please, I don't remember their names, but who are thin to begin with, and it has nothing to
Absolutely.
Do with them being on a starvation.
Correct.
But everyone assumes, and yet there is also the perception that people need to be a certain type, a certain look. So to carry on that, so we've talked about the children.
Yeah.
What about the parents? And from what I've seen, yes, men are affected, but women more so because of, you know, a man can put on a pair of pants and a shirt, a polo shirt, a button-down shirt, and they don't have to go in their closet and have to make as many choices as, you know, a woman does. And with all the pressure, with the social media, with peer pressure again, how do you deal with someone who would come in and, as far as you're concerned, you could see they're probably eating healthy, but they have such a low opinion of themselves, such a low, you know, they can't look in the mirror and say, wow, I really look good. You know, they're not happy with their bodies.
Sure.
How do you deal with that?
You're hitting on their self-worth, right? So it's a lot of what we do here. And I have to be honest, it makes our job pretty heavy because I always say this is a very vulnerable existence. People come here and their insecurities are right on the table, you know, and we don't ignore them. We have a conversation about them. So for starters, one of the things we really try to do here in terms of the physicality is make sure that we're focusing again on getting women in particular to feel strong. Weightlifting shoplifting, for example, is something that's typically shied away by women because they're concerned that they're going to bulk up, that they're going to get big. They think they need to do tons of cardio and run all kinds of miles because they want to be skinny and not have big muscles. I always use myself as an example because I lift very heavy weights, and that's, you know, how I look the way I do, quite frankly. But we kind of have to, you know, it's a bit of a learning curve, and then we get them really hooked on the feeling of accomplishment that comes from doing something they didn't think they could do. That right there is kind of the initial impetus for getting them to change their relationship with their bodies, because we just talked about the children, but we have to remember we were all there at some point in time. So maybe we didn't have social media, right? But we wanted to look a certain way, or we wanted to wear a bikini for the first time, and we became very self-conscious of what we looked like. So these thought patterns are incredibly ingrained in us, so they don't change overnight. But the very first thing we do here is break them down. Like, we talk about them. Most gyms don't. We call people out on that type of thing.
No, most gyms, no gyms,
I've
joined enough. I haven't gone to many, but I've joined enough of them to know that. And to go back to mind and body, it's a total connection, because if you don't have one, you're not going to have the other. And that is something that society, there's the pressure within society, and as you said, social media just makes it even worse with people. You can get a photo and you can Photoshop it,
sure,
and you can do this and you can do that, and people don't understand that. You know, there are so many things out there that they would like to look up to, but guess what? That's not
reality.
Not reality.
Sure.
What I know from a personal experience that it's never too late to start.
No. Great point.
And people will say, they'll have a perception that they're too old, they're too this, they never did anything, they never did whatever, they were never athletic. I, for one, know that's not true, because I really didn't start doing anything until I was in my 40s. For me, Pilates was my thing.
Excellent.
And I love it. And I'll try just about anything. I know when somebody shows me crazy chin-ups or,
sure,
you know, I just laugh. And my thing is, I have to have fun with it.
Absolutely.
I don't belong in a yoga class where everyone is very, very serious and sedate, because basically what happens to me is I go, are you kidding me? You want me to do what? Not happening. But to go back to what I started, it's never too late. How do you break that down when people come in and go, I'd really like to join, but I'm not going to, I've never done anything, or I'm 60. Is it really ever too late to start?
Yeah, it's not. And I'm really glad you brought that up. I think our efforts in that regard, in terms of communicating just that, happen on the back end, obviously, with our marketing. It's an important point to me, because the fitness industry is incredibly intimidating. And we hear this all the time. People say that they have to get in shape before they can come to the gym. I hope we could understand how funny that sounds.
Right? I'll never forget, there was a beauty parlor back in Long Island when I was growing up. My mother went there, and so I went, and my sisters went, and it was the type of place where when you walked in, you felt like you were supposed to have gotten your hair done, your makeup done. You know, the women who
sure,
shampooed you were dressed better than you
sure,
were.
Sure.
So I, you know, go on, because
yes,
this is the whole thing. This is what people don't understand.
Yeah, and if, again, it applies very heavily in the fitness industry, because I'm sure we've all been into facilities where you walk in and everybody looks beautiful, and everybody's already a size 2, and everybody's already fit.
And nobody sweats.
Correct. They're wearing makeup, you know, from the staff to the actual clients in the gym. So we work very hard. Visit our website. You will see everyday people of all shapes and sizes. And I've had people come into the facility and say, I came here because of the people you put on your website. And I'm not, to be clear, those are just pictures of our clientele. It wasn't like some shady business practice to get people to walk through the door. You know, they're not stock images. They're real people. And that right then and there helps, right? Like you said, you know, certain things work for you and certain things don't. We want to help the person figure that out, which is why we offer a fair amount of variety here. Not only is variety best for the body in terms of getting it to respond, but we understand there's no one-size-fits-all approach. And again, most facilities out there are very, particularly now, it's very boutique-like. So they offer one style of class. And then, you know, a woman, for example, might hear that her friend did it and saw great results. So she goes and she absolutely hates it and it makes her body feel miserable. And she, you know, she ultimately stops going and thinks this just isn't for me. And she doesn't try anything else because she now has a bad taste in her mouth. So it's a slippery slope, quite frankly. You know, it's not an easy business to be in because people are coming through the door with a lot of baggage and a lot of bad experiences, to be honest with you.
Well, you're not a hairdresser. You're not a beauty salon. You're not a fashion shop, but you're in the image.
Yes.
In the image business. And it starts with that feeling, that self-esteem feeling, that self-love feeling, which has to come first before anything else. And that's something that a lot of the women that I've had conversations with, they found it is the most important thing that they need to help their client basically accomplish. And that is love yourself.
Yes.
Love yourself first.
First
the
and
most
foremost.
Important. Right.
Sure.
Otherwise, everything else is just window dressing.
Yes, absolutely. It's a mindset shift for a lot of people, particularly women who are so used to, you know, putting everybody else first. But again, we have a lot of men here who are providers for their family. And like I said, they're under an immense amount of pressure.
Totally.
So, you know, for them, even coming into the gym, although it's interesting, not to gender stereotype, but they can compartmentalize. They see the benefit of coming here for an hour and understand that it makes them better at X, Y, and Z. So for them, it's almost a non-negotiable. For women, it's more at the bottom of the list, like if I get to that, because it feels indulgent. And that's another thing we try to educate people on here, is that this should be as much as like brushing your teeth as part of your day.
Well, as women, so many of the things that we do to care for ourselves is looked at as indulgent.
Yes.
And that is absolutely so wrong. Do we love going and taking the time? Sometimes we can't find the time.
Sure.
And it takes us so much time to de-stress while we're doing it. So to debunk the myth again, another myth that women are indulging themselves, whereas men are doing it because they need to keep a strong body.
Sure.
I know that men have the same self-esteem issues in different ways that women do. And I'm not trying to say women are this, men are that, but we are different.
Yes,
and,
of course.
And we have different stress levels. We might have the same triggers, but we have different stress levels.
Sure.
So what you've done as far as being able to take the complete mind and body and look at that as a total person, I think is the way that people should start looking at things. It's not just your body. It's not just your mind. It's also what you put in your body.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And there are people who think, well, if I just stop eating, I'll lose weight. Or, well, if I just work out, I'm going to lose weight. What people don't understand is it's moderation.
Sure.
If you work out 5 million times a day, but you go home and have gallons of ice
Absolutely.
Cream, it's not going
doesn't
to.
Doesn't work that way.
It's like when right before I gave birth to my son, my last checkup, they were never allowed to tell me what I weighed because I couldn't do anything about it.
Yep.
And he said to me, you've gained weight. I said, well, I'm eating 3 meals a day like you told me to. He said, is that all you're eating? Well, the ice cream.
Sure.
So, you know, we kind of fool ourselves.
Of course.
But to me, and you're the professional, it all goes together.
It absolutely does. And I think there is a disconnect. And above and beyond that, I think people have been slow to accept that transforming your body takes time.
It's
one of the first things we tell people when they come in here. It's another reason, quite frankly, I do the consultation, because if somebody says to me, I'm looking to lose 20 pounds by the end of the month, I have no problem saying, well, we can't do that for you and we might not be the right fit for you. But that to me is what is the true beauty of fitness, is that it's transformative and it
totally.
Takes time and it requires hard work, physically, mentally, getting yourself out of bed in the morning, because yes, you're changing your body, but you're changing yourself in the process in terms of the habits you're ditching and adopting. And to your point, the industry, again, has strongly advocated quick fixes, the magic pills out there, the 7-minute workout. And don't get me wrong, something's always better than nothing. I'm the first to say that. But people just need to kind of settle down and understand that if they truly want to change their body and do so in a way that's sustainable, right?
Well, that's the whole thing.
I could get you to lose 20 pounds by the end of the month, but it's not going to be healthy and it's going to come right back on, you know?
Exactly.
So in order for it to be sustainable, it's going to take some time. And I always say to people, how long have you been living the way you're living? How long did it take you to gain the 50 pounds that you want to lose? Yeah. They sometimes need that perspective. And I would say the joke around here is that I'm the master at giving the tough love with the emphasis on the love, because I'm not here to sugarcoat things. And I think that the fitness industry is great at being motivating, and there's a lot of cheerleaders out there, and I'm all for that. But sometimes people need a bit of a reality check, and quite frankly, we're not afraid to give it.
Well, you shouldn't be, because otherwise it's all phony baloney and it's not going to work. It really, to me, it's a whole way of life change. It's a moderation. It's not, you know, when people say, oh, you're on a diet. Well, you're eating. I see you watch what you eat. Yeah. Well, yeah, I watch it. And I also Nash, as I call it, and I do whatever, and I'm not stopping my cheese and wine. And I have good days and bad days, but it's a whole different way of looking. Just like when you get a new job or you change careers, it's a way of life. One of the things you've also addressed is you have you can do remote training, and it's not just training. The word escapes me, but why don't you talk about that? Because I think that what you have out there is fantastic, especially for people who may feel uncomfortable around other people, and I know what that feels like. So
Thank you. That's absolutely right. So we launched a service here earlier in 2019 that is called our live stream platform. So what this is, and a lot of people are like, oh, like Peloton. And I'm immediate to say, no, not like Peloton. Not to knock Peloton, but we're better. So it's a live stream class, right? So, and I always joke and say, like, imagine Jane Fonda, but now it's live, right? And it's oftentimes me doing a workout mic'd up, or it's one of our classes that are actually going on here at the facility. But what is so special about it is what we call Eyes on You coaching. So it's two-way video, meaning unlike Peloton, we have a coach who can actually see you at home. And this is where the magic happens. Because I always say to people, have you ever thought about the live workouts that you're doing? If nobody can see you, there's no point in it being live. You might as well be following a YouTube video or a DVD. So we have a coach who literally is assigned to just watch the people at home, and they can talk to them. So they can give them feedback in terms of their form. Because I'm sure you can imagine that a lot of people have good intentions. They're following a video or, you know, but they're not squatting properly.
And you're not going to get anything out of it.
Correct. Exactly. And then they get hurt and then they say, forget this. This didn't work for me. So we're able to correct form. Quite frankly, we're able to give a lot of encouragement because, again, when nobody's watching you, you're putting your knees down in that plank. You're going to do it. You're going to cheat. You're going to cut corners, right? So now with somebody's eyes on you, you can't do that. So our clients say all the time, those who use the live stream platform, how we're getting them to do things they never thought they were capable of doing. And again, that's the whole point here. So this service was launched with really three main demographics in mind in terms of who we were looking to cater to. One was new moms who literally with young babies have a hard time leaving the home. And quite frankly, who need exercise more than ever.
Yes.
Talk about body image issues and postpartum and everything that they're going through. So we're able to deliver this, not only a high quality workout into their home, but the social aspect of it, a little camaraderie between them and the coaches. They become friendly with the other people that are taking the class because there's regulars just like they would be in a facility, and they can see each other. They wave to one another. It's amazing. The second demographic is exactly who you alluded to at the top of this, which is the person who is too intimidated to walk into the gym. We hope that this can serve as a gateway for them, or if it's not a gateway, just a permanent solution that they're able to work out in the privacy of their own home without worrying about anybody else looking at them other than the coach, obviously, to provide that feedback. And just to get them started, because another thing we're able to do with this level of coaching is, as you can imagine, we have all kinds of ability levels in the class. So while the class itself might be more of an advanced option, the virtual coach, which is what we call the person who's watching the people at home, he or she is able to give modifications. So maybe somebody's not jumping or isn't able to jump. Well, they're given a different version of the exercise. And then thirdly, quite frankly, from a business perspective, we launched the service to kind of fill the gaps. We have a lot of people who travel for business, or even go on extended vacations in the summer, and we would lose them as clients, and they would also lose their progress. So now, also with inclement weather in the winter, not to sound cliche, but there's really no excuse. You just need an internet connection and you're able to get an awesome workout in.
Well, I think it's fantastic. It does hit so many people, and you also have people who can't leave their house.
Yep. For various reasons.
Exactly. Yes. And it's something, because fitness, you know, one of the things you mentioned, Jane Fonda, I had one of her bikes that you didn't need any electricity for. I used it so much that, it was right by my bed. I tripped and I got one of the first scars I ever got. But one of the things that she says is, no, she can't do things that she used to do, but keep moving.
Absolutely.
Keep moving. It's just a question of adjusting what you're doing.
Exactly. Modify.
And that's the whole key to all of it.
Absolutely.
It's modifying. And especially this last part that you have, and the way that you take this on a personal level, each person is different. There's no one fit for all. And it's mind and body together. So I think what you're doing is great. You're helping so many people. It's not just the children, it's the parents, it's not just the single gal, the single guy. It's really touching so many different people. So Suzanne, I thank you so much for joining me today. And if anyone wants to take a look at what Suzanne and Upper Deck Fitness is all about, upperdeckfitness.com. And who knows, with her live stream, maybe so you don't live in Connecticut or Fairfield, guess what? I bet you can do this wherever you
absolutely.
Are.
Oh, absolutely. We can meet. Excellent.
Again, Suzanne, thank you so much.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining me today. And that wraps up Season 2 of Sylvia and Me. I'm going to take a short break, 1 week actually, and we'll be back with Season 3 and more inspiring, extraordinary women on Tuesday, April 7th. If you've missed any of Season 1 or Season 2, you know where to find us. All episodes are available on any of your popular podcast platforms and, of course, our website, lifeofprey.com. If you haven't already subscribed, go ahead, it's free, and you won't miss any episodes. Rate, review, download, and listen anywhere you go. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, and of course, again, our website, lifeofprey.com. By the way, if you know of an inspiring, extraordinary woman, please contact me at sylvia@lifeofprey.com. This has been a Life of Prey production.